A renowned artist stands over her husband's body, his face obliterated by 5 gunshots. Blood pools on the hardwood floor of their elegant London townhouse. Police find her holding the weapon, fresh cuts on her wrists, utterly calm. Then she stops speaking, completely, permanently, inexplicably. For 6 years, Alicia Berenson maintains absolute silence while the world demands answers. What could drive someone to such extreme violence, then retreat into muteness? This chilling premise launched Alex Michaelides' debut novel into literary phenomenon status, selling over 2 million copies and earning comparisons to Gone Girl and The Girl on the Train. Yet beneath its thriller exterior lies something far more unsettling, a meditation on trauma, betrayal, and the terrifying fragility of the stories we tell ourselves. Alicia Berenson seemed to have it all. Paintings in prestigious galleries, a husband shooting for Dior and Vogue, a Georgian townhouse in North London's most coveted neighborhood. Friends described them as devoted, passionate, perfectly matched. Then, August 25th arrived. Gabriel returned from a parachute at 7:15 p.m. 5 minutes later, neighbors heard gunshots, but assumed it was the television. 4 hours later, police discovered Gabriel bound to a chair, his face destroyed by 5 point-blank shots. Alicia stood beside him, blood spattered and eerily calm, the warm gun at her feet. The case's extraordinary element wasn't the violence, it was Alicia's silence. Through interrogations, evaluations, and trial, she never spoke. No history of abuse, financial problems, or affairs existed. The mystery captivated the nation. Her only response came through art. In custody, she painted a haunting self-portrait titled Alcestis, herself nude before a mirror, her reflection showing the mythological queen who died for her husband, then returned from the underworld consumed by silent fury. The painting became her most analyzed work. Enter Theo Faber, a criminal psychotherapist who maneuvers onto the Grove staff, where Alicia has spent 6 years in medicated silence. He's convinced that healing her might heal himself. Theo's childhood was a minefield of unpredictable paternal rages. "I found happiness only in his absence," he recalls, a devastating admission that shaped everything that followed. A university therapist named Ruth saved him from suicide, showing him what it felt like to be truly listened to, without judgment. This transformative experience led him to his vocation, but didn't heal his fundamental wounds. It gave him tools to hide them better. His marriage to Kathy, a vibrant actress, initially seems redemptive. "I felt myself thawing in her presence, like winter giving way to spring." Yet when he discovers her affair, he doesn't confront her. Instead, he spirals into obsessive surveillance, tracking movements, photographing meetings, creating elaborate scenarios, while maintaining perfect calm at work. This parallel narrative creates unsettling symmetry. His interest in Alicia mirrors his fixation on Kathy, both feeding his need to control and understand. As boundaries blur, an urgent question emerges. Is Theo really trying to help Alicia, or is something far darker at work? The psychiatric facility housing Alicia becomes a character itself, a decaying Victorian institution with Gothic architecture, shadowy corridors, and barred windows that blur sanity and madness. Professor Lazarus Diomedes, the clinical director, initially appears as a wise mentor playing therapeutic harp and speaking eloquently about healing. Yet his leadership has allowed the Grove to deteriorate into a warehouse where patients receive minimal treatment while staff pursue personal agendas. Christian West keeps Alicia heavily sedated, rather than attempting understanding, psychiatry at its worst. Among the patients, Elif, a massive Turkish woman who murdered her mother and sister, possesses uncanny insight into surrounding dynamics. When she taunts Alicia about Theo being in love with her, Alicia stabs her in the eye with a paintbrush. This explosion reveals how the Grove fosters violence rather than healing. how therapeutic spaces collapse into chaos when the caregivers themselves are broken. Alicia's artwork becomes her only voice during 6 years of silence, visual testimony Theo must decode to uncover the truth. The Alcestis self-portrait proves most significant. In Greek myth, Alcestis dies for her husband, then returns from the underworld silent, consumed by rage at his willingness to accept her sacrifice. Theo initially sees only Alicia standing naked with a dripping red paintbrush. Later, he discovers hidden details, maggots among fruit, and a shadowy male figure watching from darkness. Earlier works reveal deeper psychological layers. Her mother's fatal car accident appears as a soul rising like a yellow-winged bird, Alicia herself conspicuously absent despite surviving. A cruel nude of obese Aunt Lydia exposes her hatred toward her guardian. Most disturbing, a painting completed a month before the murder, depicting Gabriel as crucified Jesus with the murder weapons strapped to his body, a chilling premonition. At the Grove, Alicia paints the facility burning with Theo tearing her through flames, rescuing her or throwing her into the fire. When Elif defaces it with slut, the resulting violence becomes a turning point. These visual testimonies prove how art expresses truths too painful for words, how images reveal what silence conceals. The novel's stunning revelation? Theo himself was the masked intruder. Consumed by jealousy over Kathy's affair, he broke into Alicia and Gabriel's home, tied them both up, and forced Gabriel to choose between his life and his wife's. When Gabriel chose himself, whimpering, "I don't want to die," Alicia witnessed the ultimate betrayal. Theo fired a warning shot and left, never intending murder, only wanting to expose their marriage as a lie. But Alicia, shattered by Gabriel's cowardice, picked up the gun and shot him 6 times in the face. Years later, Theo deliberately sought employment at the Grove to get close to Alicia. When she begins speaking and testing him with fabricated stories, he realizes she's recognized him. To silence her, he injects her with morphine and frames another staff member. This twist forces complete reevaluation. Theo's compassionate interest was actually self-preservation and obsession. The novel ends with a detective arriving at Theo's home carrying Alicia's diary, found hidden in her painting's frame. As the detective reads the final entry describing Theo as the intruder, we witness his freedom disappearing, inevitable consequences finally arriving. Beyond its gripping plot, The Silent Patient explores silence as both wound and weapon, a response to trauma that can either entrap or empower. Alicia's muteness initially appears pathological, but reveals itself as deliberate choice, her only available power after Gabriel's betrayal and a justice system that fails to believe her. By refusing to speak, she becomes a blank canvas for everyone, forcing others to project their meanings onto her. Her paintings, diary, and strategic decision to finally speak to Theo become more powerful precisely because of her preceding silence. Theo is equally defined by what he doesn't say, his inability to confront Kathy, his withholding of crucial information, and his carefully constructed therapeutic persona all represent destructive forms of silence. Michaelides suggests that while silence can be imposed as control, it can also be chosen as resistance. The most profound truths sometimes emerge not from what we say, but from what we refuse to speak, until breaking silence becomes the only path to justice.